I am turned on. So good morning, everyone. We'll go ahead and get started. I forgot to give that out, so I'll have to do something different. You should have a lesson on the chair you sat. Hold on to that. Just going to do a flyover too. Somebody ever watched an airplane at the house? We got our swimming pool. It's big enough to get wet in. And the two people on a float, you don't move. But the and you watch those airplanes way up in the sky fly over and making a little chemical trail, you know, spreading all the germs or whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But they're flying way up. And watch them. It takes forever for them to go across the sky. But they are moving on. If you really live close enough, that sometimes we'll get a Learjet going towards Rock Hill Airport, and it flies over at a much lower altitude. And by the time you hear it, it's already gone past. That thing's not traveling as fast as the others. Zoom, it's through. Well, this is we're traveling at thousands of miles an hour, but we're going to do it at low altitude. So by the time I have spoken it, we've already passed by the topic. But it's a topic that a lot of times I tell people when they hear spiritual gifts, they hear this type of topic, they shy away from because you begin to lean towards some of the fanaticisms that are out there. With it, Paul had to deal with it in Corinthians. He had to write a whole book to deal with the misuse of spiritual gifts. But Pastor, back in the 1st of August, preached a couple messages about the body of Christ, knowing your place, and knowing that. And spiritual gifts is critical in your spiritual walk. But I didn't give you everything that I have. I just gave you some outline information and verses, and you can study those things on your own. But this will talk about what the spiritual gifts are. These are just some definitions that I've put together through research of my own. I'll talk about those more in just a moment. And in those, I tried to list some areas where you usually see this type of ministry used. How many of you in here, by the raise your hands, and don't be shy, raise your hand, know what your spiritual gift is? Raise your hand. You know, I want to count. I need them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's about normal. They say that probably about an average, you know the old 20-80 rule in church? Yeah, 20-80 rule, 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. If you notice, it kind of falls right in line with spiritual gifts. If the Bible has so much to say about spiritual gifts, then I think it's imperative that and crucial that we as believers make it a topic of study, understanding, and enlightenment. Say this with me. Say, I want to get off on a tangent so bad. So bad right there I want to talk about. Hey, say this with me. I have a gift. I have been gifted. I am gifted. Say it with me again. Y'all did the best of all of them. I'm so proud of you. Y'all, oh, this is going to be a great class. I can see now. Huh? I have a gift.
I have a gift.
I have been gifted.
I have been gifted.
I am gifted.
I am gifted.
Let me tell y'all something.
Amen.
God has given you a very special gift. Matter of fact, God has given you a supernatural gift. Just last night, all the football games and stuff were on, and I was like, well, I know who's going to lose this one really quick. And so I had it on my phone. But on TV, I was watching the Man of Steel, Superman. I love the Man of Steel. I love Superman. That's who I wanted to be. I used to get Mama's good towel, and I'd wrap it. How many of you guys, you'd wrap that towel around your neck and pretend to be Superman? I was on the bicycle, man, got on the side of the house one day, thought before I jumped off. I was smart enough not to do that. But, you know, I want to have supernatural abilities. And, of course, I don't tell anybody, Brandon, you've never seen me and Superman in the same room, okay? Just but, silly, childish, dreamlike. But as believers, God has gifted you. And here's something. We're all included in this. No one's excluded. You know Christ is your Lord and Savior. You have a gift. He's given you a supernatural gift in these natural bodies to do supernatural work. The work of the church is a supernatural work. When we downsize the work of the church and just make it a human activity, well, I can do that at the Y. I used to do that in the bars and the other places that I went to. We had music. We had people that spoke. I can go to some of the committees and places. I had someone that tell me, said, well, you know, if you come and join us, it's almost like church. We're going to sing a song. Somebody's going to speak. We may even pray over the meal. But it's not. That's just natural things. What we do here and what goes on in your life is supernatural. It's not human natural. Don't downsize it. About 20% of the people know what their gifts are. That's normal. It's been about the classes is pretty well even. So out of almost 100 Southside Baptist Church members that's come through this class in the 5 weeks, I would say it's probably less than 20% has raised their hand. So that means that more than 80% of our church people don't even know where you belong really in the body of Christ and what you should be doing. And then we wonder why churches struggle. We wonder why we as individuals struggle, because it's awful being in the wrong place and not being where you're supposed to be. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put this ahead today. How many of you had the potato heads as children? No, you probably still got your potato head. Man, I got mine. I still got my Snoopy. My Snoopy is 51 years old. I got a little Snoopy dog, 51 years old. He is me and him. When Rhonda's mean to me, I go in there and cuddle up Snoopy. But yeah, they gave these. This is for two year old and above. I'm surprised because you can get them in your mouth, right? But they say they're for two and above, and they're for the purpose of teaching children where body parts belong, right? Because you know, there's nothing so when a baby finds their hand. I remember when we found his foot. You're like, get your foot out of your mouth. I keep my foot in my mouth all the time, but it's just metaphorically. All right. But children, you watch them when they learn. You're like, oh, it's just your ear. And you're teaching them all their body parts. Well, Mr. Potato Head does that. And it's fun because they make them where you can put things in the wrong place. But we all know that where a mouth belongs, right? We always know where you should be looking from. We all know where the hands belong. Where the mouth goes, where the mustache should be, where the seeing comes from and where the hearing comes from, and we put them all in the right place. Now, is this not the local church you want to be a part of? But this is what a lot of local churches look like. And even at times, this is what Southside Baptist looks like. This is why I say this, because people aren't where they belong. And by show of hands, only less than 20% of the church that's been in this class can say they know where they belong. The pastor, who you don't spend any time with, doesn't know you or know your spiritual gift because you don't know yours, is asking you to do things. He's putting you places you don't belong. It's not because we're not willing. People are like, well, I need some help, X, Y, Z. I'm more than willing to help, Pastor. A willing heart, but we all have that. But if it's not where God has gifted you, as an individual, you will not be fulfilled, you'll not be enlightened, and there will not be enjoyment. Well, I don't want pastor to know, because then I'll get stuck in a class and never get out attitude. Well, then that's probably not your place to be to start with. Because if you really want to be there, you'll never want to be out. Don't be a potato head. If you don't get anything else out of the class, don't be a potato head. Learn your spiritual gifts so you know where you best belong. Now, I will say this. In the spiritual gifts, we all are active in parts of them, and they're all part of who we are, because much of those are part of outflows of the fruit of the Spirit and the things we find out that we from salvation. But one particular gift is yours. Charles Haddon Spurgeon tells of a story of an elderly lady. She was on her deathbed, and he was there visiting her, and she had lived in poverty, in a poverty state, almost her whole life. And while visiting her there in her room, he noticed on the wall beside her bed a document, nicely framed, beautiful document that had lots of, you know, calligraphy and all the things that they put on a beautiful document. And began to look at the document and asked the lady. She said, "Where did this document come from?" She said, "Well, when I was a young lady in my early 20s, I took care of an elderly man, very wealthy, and he passed away, and he left me that. And it meant so much to me because he meant such to me, I framed it and had it beside my bed." And he began to study closely that document, and it was a will, leaving her his entire fortune. And for her whole life, she had all the wealth that that man wanted her to have, but had never used it. Some of you have been saved over 20 years, maybe longer, and have never used the wealth that God's given you. Never unwrapped a gift. Anybody in here got a Christmas gift from last year still unwrapped? Anybody? That's yours. It had your name on it, big bow on it. You saw it under the tree, man, the excitement of it. You're shaking. If it's heavy, you know it's probably going to be good. If it's light, it's gift card. But and you get it, and you're so excited about having that gift, and you're wringing your hands on it, and you put your hand, and then you just slide it under the chair, and you say, well, I'll look at it next year. Absolutely not. With excitement, you tearing that thing, paper slinging everywhere. If one of the kids tried to come help, you kicking them off of them and say, that's your present, right? And you get, you know, basically when we get older, we only get one or two. So grandkids, I can help. No, you can't. And you open that thing up with excitement, and you look at it, and you, oh, that's awesome. Wonderful. God has given you that. But spiritually, a lot of us still have it unwrapped. So these lessons, you're going to look at, will help you to learn to unwrap your gift, to see what yours is. Now, it takes some dedication and study. So God has gifted you with a spiritual gift to be used in the local church. His expectation of a steward that's been given something that he's supposed to use is what? To use it. And to use it productively. The story of the three stewards and the one unjust that went and hid his talents and did nothing with it, it applies to spiritual gifts. If God mentions something in the Bible one time, isn't it important? Isn't it all authoritative? Doesn't hold precedence of anything else if God mentions it? Well, I'm just going to show you at least just a real quick, like in a little while, 30 verses. My mama never had to say to me 30 times anything. God shouldn't have to tell us repetitively that spiritual gifts are important. Now, again, the fanaticism that goes on behind it often steers people, but a true understanding of it, you will be able to use them as God wants you. When I said it's an 80-20 thing, somebody said this, most churches are like football. I watched some football yesterday. I noticed in the football game when I was watching, there was 22 men, Aisha, down on the field, desperately needing rest. And 50,000 in the stands, desperately needing exercise. That's what most churches are like. There's 20 or 30 people that are killing themselves trying to keep the ministry running, and the rest are spectators that really need to be getting busy. Our church needs people getting busy. Our pastor's been talking about that. The growth of Southside Baptist is not about a building. If anybody thinks that we're going to build something, they're going to come, stop watching Field of Dreams. That's a movie. That's Hollywood. People come to church because we invite. People come to church because we tell. People come to church because you grow them spiritually. Yeah. Charles Spurgeon says, beware if you build your church on other men's bricks. We need to build them on spiritual growth. And some of you are gifted in this area and you're not using it because you don't know. Some of you will be gifted in these other areas that can help make the church grow and to do. The ones that raised their hand, somebody yell out what your spiritual gift is. Encouragement. Awesome spiritual gift. Southside Baptist Church. Pastor spent some time right before we got into this talking about our mission statement, our vision as a church, and how we are going to reach that. Well, you know, part of the passion we've been doing in the fellowship class is really 2022, teaching about a three-step process in our personal growth. And knowing your spiritual gift falls right in line with these three things. If you know your spiritual gift, it is glorifying to God. It glorifies Him. Never, and you'll see this later on and in your notes as you study on, never is your spiritual gift used for your self-glorification. That's what was going on in Corinth. No church has ever been as gifted as the Church of Corinth. The problem with the Church of Corinth, they were using it for themselves. Everybody had a word of prophecy. Everybody had a tongue. Everybody was this, and everybody wanted to be on top, and everybody was getting in front of someone else. And Paul says, y'all got chaos, and no one's being edified by the spiritual gifts. You've got a problem, and he addresses the problem. Yeah, people weren't supposed to be using them when they were using them, things like that. That was going on in the church. So remember, your spiritual gift is to be used to glorify God. That His name be lifted up. You know, Taylor, do you see my lungs? You see what they're doing right now? What are they doing, though? They're working, aren't they? Yeah. And we're all bodies of parts of Christ, right? Some of us are lungs, and some of us are toes and feet, and some of you are just calcium buildup. No, just kidding. But I'm going to tell you, some parts of the body aren't seen, but they're critical, aren't they? What would happen if my lungs weren't working? I'd be dead. Yeah, I'd be dead. Somebody in this room may be the lung of Southside Baptist, but you're not breathing. And we're struggling for breath. 7 days a week, not just on Sunday morning, because you're not breathing, and God's placed you in the church to be the lungs. But the point is that some of the spiritual gifts that you'll see aren't the ones that are out front and seen. They're not the ones that get into accolades. My ego, I'm a man. I'm an ego. It builds me, makes me feel good. I like the pat on the back. If any pastor tells you he doesn't want you to say good sermon, great job, he's also a liar. All right. We all love to hear we had a good lesson. We all love to hear we had a good message. Now, the difference is whether you let it become a prideful thing or not. But we still like to hear that. But really, it's God's glory. The use of the spiritual gift. The use of my teaching is that I don't want anybody saying, man, James, no, no. God gave me this gift. God gave me this desire to study God's word. I love studying the Bible. I love listening to preaching. I love it. Life just gets in the way. I've been able to do more. I love it. But it's not for me. It's to glorify God. It's also to help me grow and to help others grow. If you are learning about your spiritual gift, then you will be growing. As you learn to use your spiritual gift and deploy it within the church and to put it in its proper place, the church will grow. Our outreach within the church and our outreach outside the church will grow. And we'll serve others. We'll go. We'll serve, like I said, each other in the community. It falls in line. You're knowing your spiritual gift falls in line. Now, my question is what are you doing right now to fulfill this? What role are you playing in fulfilling this? I joked and said that. We're all parts of the bodies. But, you know, I've got things on my body that I really don't want on there. Skin tags. The older you get, more skin down. Gross little things. Moles, anybody got a mole? Don't show it. Those are things we don't want on our body, but they get attached. There may be, just trying to look around, there may be some people in here kind of moly. They're just attached. All they're doing is withdraw the skin. They just withdraw. They do nothing. They just suck away the health of the rest of the body. There's also that thing called cancer. But cancer is where cells of your body decide that they're going to not do what they were designed to do. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing about cancer. It doesn't stay by itself.
No, right.
It likes to attract other cells and other organs, and it spreads. And the same thing can happen in our churches. When parts of the bodies are not using the gifts that God has given them to use. And I say this all the time. I said this to our pastor in our talk. And I said, sometimes I believe the lack of forward motion that happens in churches is not because the Holy Spirit certainly is not willing. It's full of cancer. It's full of people that don't know their gifts. They're not where they belong. If my heart was in my knee, it wouldn't work too good. And then we wonder why our churches struggle to see, to hear, to be able to speak. Because people aren't where they belong because they haven't spent time to find out. I know it's not the most popular thing. It's not telling you how to become financially healthy and wealthy and all of those types of things that they like to teach and write lots of books about. But this right here will make you spiritually wealthy and will make the church spiritually grow. Imagine what we could do and what Southside would do if we reversed the numbers that 80% of the people knew their gifts, were using them, deploying them, and doing it for the work of God rather than just 20%. I say that because, again, only 20%, actually less than 20%, has said they've known their spiritual gift. So there's no way you're using it if you don't know it. You can't use what you don't know. What role do you play? I talked about your cancer. So let me show you my list. On your outline, there's four major verses that I listed. I'm not going to read these verses today. We will be looking at Romans chapter 12 in just a moment. But Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4 pulls out verses that talk about our spiritual gifts. That's why I was telling Lynn about hospitality. Many people leave 1 Peter 4 out of the list of spiritual gifts. Pastor just preached on that last Sunday morning, and talked about this particular verses. But the reason why I have listed these in this order, if you Google, you will find different lists, some shorter, some put ones together like ministry and helps and hospitality. A lot of times you'll see these three listed as being the same spiritual gift. Here's why I did not list them as the same spiritual gift. They're not the same Greek word. God's a master of the language. If he wanted it to be the same word, he would use the same word. The content around what is being talked about around this word and what these believers are doing with these in this particular passage and what's going on in these churches dictated that God used what he used. So they are different. Very similar, but yet they're different. Here's the thing, class. One of these is yours. Okay, not one. Some of you can't be this. Sorry. This is just some disqualifications for being the pastor teacher. And there are no more apostles. If you've seen Jesus, then you stop doing drugs. But the office of the actual prophets is not. But the gift of prophecy, the office of a prophet, one who foretold, God gave him a direct message. And let me tell you this right here. If anybody ever says, well, God told me. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? God told me. He said, wait a minute, let me get my pen. I need to write it in my Bible. Because obviously, he's still speaking to only you. And I'm pretty sure the Bible says in Revelation he's done. But God doesn't tell anybody anything anymore. I've never got a phone call from him to tell me. Right? God's done speaking. It's in the Bible. He says, if you want to know what I've got to say, look at the Bible. So that's always a red flag. That's just a freebie. It's always a red flag if you ever hear somebody say, God told me. It's not in the Bible he didn't tell you. And again, some of these are no longer gifts because they were signed gifts, temporal gifts used from those of the apostles for particular things. I'll use healing as an example. I believe God still does heal. Yes, I can give you a personal example of a miracle in my family's life that medicine and medical people cannot explain. It was God healing. All right? Can God do anything God wants to do, folks?
Yes.
If God wants somebody to start speaking in Spanish, if God wants me to start speaking in Spanish right now, could God do that?
Yes.
I'm struggling with English. Can you imagine me in Spanish? But if God wanted me to, he could. But he would have to go contrary to his word. Because he said it would end in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when that which is perfect has come. And that which is perfect is the Bible because it is a neuter tense word, though capitalized in the Greek, meaning it is an object that is to full completion. And we know that's the Bible, the 66 book canon. But could he? Absolutely. Could God? Here's the thing about healing. Anytime there was healing in the Bible, you look at it. Anytime there was somebody healing in the Bible, they were also raising the dead. And I've not met any of those guys that touch people on the head raise somebody up from the grave. Everybody in the Bible that healed also raised them from the dead. Just saying. Make the connection. So if people are teaching it, somebody's got to be wrong, either God or them. All right? Again, tongues, there's no need for interpretation of tongues because if nobody's speaking in known languages, then we don't need somebody to interpret what those known languages are. Though we practice tongues because we've had people stand up in our church and preach in a foreign language and someone stood beside them and interpreted it. That's kind of an example of what it would have been like other than the fact that the guy that started talking in a foreign language had never done it before. And God came upon him and he did at that moment in time. All right. And that's also all important. You got people say, well, there's tongues and there's prayer tongues, things like that. Well, it's still contrary if you want to get into a deep study of that because it does no edification. And the Bible says that spiritual gifts are given for one purpose and one purpose only, the edification of the local church. If what you're doing does not build me up and builds you up, then it's not a spiritual gift. You are misusing what God has listed. So that's a long list. Now, let me tell you something about this list. Okay, class, look. This is not a shopping list. I know some of you are looking at it going, man, I want that one. As I said, now you will be a part of all of these. Most of these should be evident in your life to a degree. If you take this test, some of these tests, you'll see that one's going to score higher, but you'll score in all of them. You get a zero in giving, something's wrong. We're going to pull you aside and beat you with a cat of nine tails. Tithe, but you're robbing God. No, but, you know, I appreciate all the helps that people think. So there, but it's not a shopping list. You don't get to pick the one you want. God has already, at the time that you were saved, said, this is your body part. This is where you belong in the church. And then he just mistakenly had them to get you here at Southside Baptist, where we needed that person. And some of you older Southside Baptist members, we've seen a lot of people come and go, haven't we?
That's right.
Different reasons. But it's amazing how God always brings in another family that fills in the exact same spot. Oh, why? Because he knows what the body needs. I can remember when the Wright family were here and they left and they were pretty involved and he became a deacon and his job changed and he had to leave kind of quick. And then another family came in and Rhonda's like, they look different, but they act just like them, don't they? It's amazing how God just brings people into that because he knows how to make the body work the best. It's not a shopping list. It's also not a list for talents. I got to move quick. God has given some of you great talents. Some of you can play piano. Some of you can sing. I can sing and play piano. Most people don't know that. Most people don't want to know that. Right? Don't marry at all with a wham. But spiritual gifts are not a talent. God may mirror your talent with your spiritual gifts. Because let me tell y'all something. God knows who you are. He's gifted you. He's made you. You are his workmanship, Ephesians chapter 2 tells me, right? He is the one carving you. He is the one molding you. He is the one making you. Let me look at me. Look at me. God doesn't make junk. I don't care what the world tells you. Young people, you're growing up. I don't care what the world tells you. God doesn't make junk. He made you just like you are for who he wants you to be one day. And who you are now for who he wants you to be today. And he's preparing you for even bigger things. You're not junk. Let me tell you something else about gifts. I forgot to tell you about gifts. Here's something about spiritual gifts. He gave it to you at birth. A lot of us haven't unwrapped it. Those of us that have and we're using it, we grow, we mature in it, we learn to use it better. All right? I can remember my first sermon was 5 minutes long. All right? Now I could preach longer than a pastor. All right? Hey. You'll develop them. But here's the thing about spiritual gifts, because there's a few older people in here. They don't have an expiration date. You don't get to decide not to use them. Well, you can, but you'll give an account. Now, there are service times within the church, and in the Old Testament, the Bible teaches that at a certain age, young men began to be trained to work in the temple, and for a certain amount of time, they did the work of the temple. But then after that, they trained the young men that were going to work in the temple. America, we have this mindset, and I say this to America's fault and to our church's fault, because we've let it creep into our churches, we've let it creep into our personal philosophies. We think we reach a certain time and age in our life, we don't have to do it anymore. It's time for young people to do it. That's not the biblical standard. Titus says that the older women are to teach the younger women. This church has too many, and I say this, and I said this with my pastor sitting right there. I said, this church has too many young people teaching young people. And we have too many old people sitting on the sidelines watching. That's not the biblical way. God has given you more time. He's given you more wisdom. He's given you more abilities. What you've done and what we do is we selflessly use it for ourselves. And we push God aside. My warning is you will give account. It is not the biblical way. There is no expiration date on spiritual gifts. He gave it to you at spiritual birth. He expects you to use it until you stand before him. It's not a talent that you can make better. I told you I was just going to give you a quick list about spiritual gifts. See, if God says it once, he means it, right? Here's a quick 30 verses right here. That doesn't include the Old Testament, Curtis, when the Spirit came down upon Samson, he grabbed up the jawbone of an ass and killed all them men. See, that's how he did it in the Old Testament. The Spirit moved on to man, gave him a special gift and ability to do a special task at that special time, and he left. He doesn't do that now. He dwells within us, gives us that special ability, a task, and we're to use it all of our life. Repetitively, over and over in the Bible, you're going to see it. Over and over in the Bible, you're going to see the importance that the spiritual gift plays in the role of the church, how we're one body. Romans chapter 12. I'm not teaching this without any Bible. I promise you, there's plenty of it to be studied. But in Romans chapter 12, Paul's writing to to the Roman church. Now, I'm going to start in a verse, but we're going to pick back up on verse 1. Because remember, we say this, and we don't mean that it doesn't undermine that the Bible is written this way, but the letter to the Roman church wasn't written in chapter verse. It was written in paragraphs. So when you write a paragraph and write a letter to someone, a paragraph is a thought, right? You start with a thought, you end with a thought, you start another paragraph, you start another thought. Paul's writing a thought. That thought begins in verse 1. It doesn't end till later in 12. So we're going to go back to verse 1 in a moment in the outline and see the importance of the first three verses. But Paul says in verses 5, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. No one's separated. No one's on the island of themselves. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do so simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, armor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." All right, that verse, you can look at Corinthians, you can go to the Ephesians, all of those, there will be a theme that God gave to the local church, individual special gifts for the collective use, for the edification of the church, to glorify God so that the lost could be reached and the saints could be built up. We are important. If play that game, Lego, whatever, what's that game where you, Jenga, where you just push one of those, and we just push the right person out, what happens to this pyramid? It falls. If the person decides to step out, it falls. It collapses. You are important. That's another thing I want you to understand. You are important to this local church. I think maybe that's why the pastor talked about that a couple messages back, about there's people don't realize the significance they may have. But you are very important to this local church. Let me give you right quick. Now, I'm not going to go through the list of spiritual gifts. I usually just spend 10 minutes or so talking about each one just a little bit. You've got it right here, okay? You've got them right here. All that information is right there about those spiritual gifts for you to study. But I do want to give you this list of things that are not spiritual gifts, because often in the churches, we have an error within the church. You might want to take a picture of these. I'm not going to spend time on them. I'm just going to show them to you in one big quick clip. People think these are spiritual gifts, and they try to employ them because they think this is what God's gifted them in. Criticism. Criticism is not a spiritual gift, even though we're very good at criticizing. Sermon salad, pastor pot roast, those type of things. Gossip is not a spiritual gift. I promise you, I will tell you in the hall later more about it. All right? Don't come complaining to me, because I got things to complain about too. And then when everybody going to get anything done if all we do is stand around and complain. There's people think they have the gift of disappearance. You know what that gift is? Hey, where's so-and-so? I ain't been here in a while. Oh, when the work time, hey, we need some help putting some tables and chairs in the gym. Where did everybody go? Spontaneous attendance. You know, they're here one week, they're not here the next. You can't rely on them. It would be a terrible cornerstone in a building, right? How about if you was to build a house and you got that beam goes across there and a nice cathedral, the tall ceilings in your house, and some days the beam's there and some days the beam's not. I would not want to be there today, the beam's not, because the house is coming down. You are important. Your attendance is important. Worry, women. I know you think your spiritual gift is worry. It's not. It's ours. Men, we do a better job worrying than women. We just don't tell you. All right, women are always good to let us know they're worrying. We're over there just grinding our teeth about it. Worry is not. Popularity is not a spiritual gift. I don't care if you are on the top. It's not popularity. It's not avoidance. You know what a spiritual gift of avoidance is, don't you, Curtis? When you're in Walmart, you see somebody you really don't want to talk to, you jump over in the other aisle. That's a spiritual gift of avoidance. You've seen the pastor, like, oh, there's pastor. Yeah. I've said busyness. Busy is not a spiritual gift. I think it is. I'm way too busy. All right? But it is not. Being too busy is honestly a detriment. And procrastination. Spiritual gift of procrastination, I'll tell you about later. All right? So, wah, 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 wah. If I was to give you two Bible verses that I think are a cornerstone and key mark of spiritual gifts, it would be these two right here. One we've already looked at. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let me go over here and look at these teenage boys a little bit. OJ is almost like a teenager to me. OJ, you know, you used to be in my junior boys and girls class.
Yes, sir.
Sat over in the corner. You and Rich. Nothing about y'all the same. You know why? God made you that way. He didn't make us robots. He didn't want us all to act exactly the same. And sometimes people will teach and people will preach that we're supposed to be almost like we're exactly the same types of people. Well, we're not. I'm not glorifying anything that my past had, but God took me through my past so that I could help people now. I tell people in marriage counseling, I know what it's like not to want to go home. So I can help people that don't want to be at home together. Ron and I can also tell you how great it is when God pulls you together and puts your, mends your heart, molds them together. The other verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Too many church people are ignorant about a topic that is dear to God's heart. Let me tell you why it's dear to God's heart. Because when I give people gifts, I do it out of love.
Yeah.
I want them to have something special. I want to have something that means something to me, to them. God has given you something that's special. It meant something to Him to give you what He's given you. And if you've not learned it, you've not unopened it, you are breaking His heart. Because it would break my heart to give you a gift and you take it and throw it under the chair and say, never mind, thank you. Folks, God forgive me when I don't use your gift. That's all I can say. I said, I'm not going to spend time going through these. I'm going to let you do that. So get your pen out. I'm going to give you this outline. I told you that the outline is really going to be you and for your study. And get your pen so you can fill them out. I left blanks in there so that you can fill them out. That way I can tell, prove to the pastor that I went over them and you let them know. I will say this in about 3 minutes. The key to using your spiritual gifts starts in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. What? Nobody ever talks about spiritual gifts and starts from 12, 1. No, they don't. But Paul does in his thought pattern. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now, Paul is writing to the Romans. He is God's man penning, but he is writing whose words? God's. So what is God saying to us? God is saying, can you imagine God begging us? But verse 1, God is begging us. I beseech you, I'm begging you, therefore, my children, the brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good. And don't you think spiritual gifts are good?
Right.
Absolutely. So we can include that in that, right? And it's acceptable. You think it would be acceptable to God that you're using your spiritual gift and in the place where you belong? I believe so. Do you think it's perfect? Your spiritual gift is perfect? Absolutely. God doesn't make anything unless it's good. All right? Here's the other thing. Will of God. How many of you want to know God's will for your life? If you don't know your spiritual gift, you don't know God's will for your life. What you want, know what God wants you to buy, what job you want, what house to buy, what kids to have, and who to marry, and who to do. What you want is a genie in a bottle. God says, what I want is you to know what gift I've given to you and get busy using it within the local church. So you glorify me and you help others grow. It starts with a transformation. A presentation, a spiritual presentation. You got to present your body. Those sacrifices in the Old Testament, when they presented a sacrifice to God, it didn't have a choice. Now we do. And out of love, God wants you to present to Him yourself. Here's the other thing about a sacrifice. Those sacrifices die. None of those lambs walked away from the altar. We got to die to ourselves. You people, come dedicate your life to the Lord. Come rededicate. I've used the word myself. But I hate that. Don't rededicate. Because if you have to rededicate, you never did dedicate. Because if you ever dedicate your life to the Lord, you sacrifice yourself on the altar, and sacrifices again don't come back to life. You went up there and you said some words, but when you got up, you walked back with the same sacrifice in your hand. Present your body. Be transformed. A transformation, a spiritual transformation that should take place and will take place. And there's some Bible verses to help there, just a few. You can do further studies if you need to. Then there's also a spiritual consideration. Three different times in that verse right there, verse 12, Paul says, think. to learn to think soberly, to learn to think right so that you don't use your spiritual gifts in the wrong thing. He is preparing the believer on how to use what he's going to list in a minute. You've got to be right first. You've got to be devoted to God. You've got to be participation. He reminds us in verse 6 that there's all of us participating together as a local body. It's not just you by yourself. All right. And then the last thing is there's an activation. And he begins to list where the spiritual gifts are activated and how they're to be used. Put it to work. Put it to work. Put it to work. That's the most important thing I can say. Put it to work. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, don't wait till you're 100% sure. Get busy now. If the shoe doesn't fit, change shoes. Get in there and give it a try. Develop your gift. There's three on here, so I left one off. I apologize. I just didn't waste a lot of paper and recopy these. If you're going to develop your gift, it requires dedication to the study of God's Word. Hey, if I think my gift is gift of mercy, then I'm going to do a contextual study of that word mercy and see how people in the Bible used it and what they did with it. What God's had to say about the gift of mercy. How do I employ it? Maybe get a good book, read on it from a good author. But I'm going to dedicate some study to it, so I better use it. All right? Don't just sit on it. Use it. Paul tells Timothy in 4:14 not to neglect the gift that was given to him. Don't neglect using the gift. Huh? Developers in the church. Here's the other third thing that's on there. God has put people in the church to develop us in our spiritual gift. That's the job of the pastor and the teacher, the evangelist, which if you define evangelists really more of our missionaries, even though we have what we call evangelists, they like to go into churches, stir the pot, and leave the mess for the pastor to clean up. All right? But they are stirs, but they're more pastor than they are the true definition of evangelists in the Bible. But the pastor teacher develops the church. That's his job, to help develop us through the study of God's Word. And then the last two, this one also has a third one I forgot to put on the outline, it requires discipline. Dodge pride. Now somebody's going to come up and go, "You are the sweetest person in Southside Baptist. There's nobody else in Southside Baptist near as sweet as you." And before long, it is. Well, that's why I said that. I was going to say it something to Curtis, but. But don't get a big head because you are. Just spread some more sweetness on me. It's designed, again, to build a local church. Here's the other thing. It's done in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter, right? We love to read it at weddings. We love to use it all the time. It's in the middle of the book that Paul is addressing a church that is using spiritual gifts wrong. Is that a coincidence? No, because they weren't distributing and using their gifts out of love. And Paul says, let me tell you how the church is to love itself. And that's what the love chapter is about. Now, it applies. It's agape love. It applies to all those other avenues about love. But it's about how we're to love each other and how we're to use our gifts to do so. And here's the last one. You already have them on here. Do it to the glory of God. Do it to glorify the church. I would pray that in a month's time, we've gathered all the five classes that's been in here. And we ask again, how many of you know your spiritual gift? I at least said 80-20. Please. Take time to study your spiritual gift. I need you to, because I'm a part of this body. And I want my lungs to pump. I need my knees to bend. I need my big toe to stomp. I need my ears to hear. And if you're not doing what God's put you here, I'm not complete. And you're not complete. Father, thank you for the time that we've had in the study of your word. Bless it as only you can through your Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.